Let's read from the book of 1 Timothy. It warms my heart always, this book, when I go through it, because it encourages me as a minister of the word to always, always remember the one who called me. Now, when we read chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, and we read 4 verses, and specifically verses 7 and verses 15 and 16. But let's read 6 to 8, and then we will read verses 15 and 16. It reads thus: "If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the word of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed." Now, verses 7. It says, "Now have nothing to do with irrelevant, silly myth. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." Now, when I read verses 15 and 16, it says, "Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers." Thus says the Lord, the word of the Lord, and may we be blessed through it. Amen. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, you know, I had an opportunity in life to grow up in a community where water was brought by a water tank. We used to call them the water tank. And the African-speaking people will understand what I'm talking about. It's a water tank. So that's a tank. In a community where a water tank will come and pour water in there. Then almost 60 households will come and get water from that tank. But one day something happened funny. Somebody decided to kill a cat and put it in the tank. Now, well, nobody knew about that. And listen to this very carefully. Nobody knew anything about that. Now, in the morning, the water tank people came and they filled the tank. So it is a queue of buckets waiting for water. Now, the first bucket we saw, there's feathers and some kind of flesh. Now, don't vomit. Now, we help the old lady to clean the bucket. Then we put it back. Again, the same thing. Then we decided, you know, we were young boys, to push the tank and take out the whole water out of it. There comes a cat. Dead. Now, always when this picture comes into my mind, I ask myself, the congregation comes to church to drink living water from the pulpit. What if I am dead? What kind of water are they going to drink from me? How many people will die by drinking from me? How many people will get sick by sucking wrong information from me? Even though it's not the wrong information, promising information, but from a dead life. Now, what about those households? If all of us, we drank from that tank, half of our community will be dead by now. How many people are dying out of our sermons? How many? Now, that's a question that worries me each and every day. Now, we are talking about personal devotion or godliness or a spiritual life of a pastor or a church leader. A church leader, it's more of a tank where people come each and every time to drink or to get water, to be refreshed and nourished, to face the week again with a life of promise. But what if you as a minister is not refreshed? Now, Paul says to Timothy, as he encourages him, He says now to Timothy, have nothing to do with irrelevant, silly myth. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And just by reading these verses, also verses 15 and 16, also only by reading these verses or this text, one come to realize the seriousness of developing godliness or a personal relation with God as a preacher. Now, Paul encourages Timothy, who was growing in ministry, on how to have a disciplined way of growing in godliness. Look at this. He says to him, have nothing to do with irrelevant, silly myth. It is like saying, have nothing to do with things which will never benefit you spiritually. But do what? But train yourself or exercise yourself or be in a gymnastic position. Exercise yourself in what? In godliness. It is like saying, invest your time in developing a personal relation or developing a personal devotion with your God. But how many pastors have time with God? And the question that I had even on Tuesday was now, then I asked this question, what is then personal devotion? What is actually Paul saying to Timothy? What is this personal devotion? Now somebody explained it in this way. Then he says, now personal devotion, it is a spiritual discipline of prayer, praise, Bible reading, and meditation that God blesses to give and maintain and grow our spiritual life. You know where that happened? It happens only when I or when you set a time daily out of love for God to spend in quietness with Him. That's what Paul says to Timothy. Exercise yourself. Train yourself. Training calls for discipline. Training calls for concentration. Now that is why he says, have nothing to do with things which are irrelevant, but focus your mind, focus your life in something that will benefit you spiritually. And you know why? He says, because it has a benefit. You know, way back, when I tell people this story, they laugh and they think it's a joke. 85, 89, up to 95, I was a heavy lifter. Then I broke my arms. Then I had to stop. The trainer will always tell you, if you don't concentrate, the only thing you're going to get is a danger. By losing concentration, I broke my arms. Because exercising desire you to have a focus, desire you to have discipline, desire you to have love for what you will be doing. That's what Paul says to Timothy. And you know what is, unfortunately? Paul says to Timothy, now have nothing to do with this. But what do you do? Discipline yourself in prayer, praises, reading the Bible, meditating on the word of the Lord. Because that's what the Lord uses to help you grow and maintain spiritual life. But unfortunately, I've seen so many pastors, so many of my co-workers, so many of my friends who do not realize the seriousness or the necessity of growing a personal relation with God. It is more of an optional than something one desires from the heart. And that is why I ask, is this important? Is this what Paul says to Timothy he must do important?
Or it is something for him just to do for the sake of publicity. Or it is something just to do to gain fame, as most of us desire. No. It's of uttermost importance. Now there are two verses. When I read them, actually they made me worried. Now verses 8 and verses 16. And listen to them very carefully. For while bodily training is of some value, well, for your health's sake, it is of some value. But he says now, godliness is of value in every way. And not only that, then it continues and then he says, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Now when you read that, that immediately tells you the value of disciplined life spent with God. Then verses 16 says, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, what does it say? You will save both yourself and your hearers. You know, these two verses gives a value of godliness, the value of personal relation with God, the value of spending time with God, thinking on His word, allowing Him to nourish you. You know, as Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3, it says, as this man does not delight in sitting with those who mocks the Lord. But verses 3 says, he is like a tree. Because why? Because he delights in the word of the Lord. This verse brings two things. When Paul speaks to Timothy, and even to me as a preacher, it brings two things. It says, first, this godliness, this exercise, this disciplined life, what does it do? It holds a promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Two, it says it is of a value for you as a pastor. Because why? You will save both yourself and your hearers. You know what Paul says in Philippians? As he sees the value of being close to God. And he says this following words, for me to live is Christ, and to die is a gain. If death was walking and it comes on this door, I don't want to lie, I'll be the first to use that door. Because I'm the first to see it coming and the first to exit. But Paul says, by understanding, by feeling the closeness with God, then he says, but to live for me is Christ, and to die it's a gain. Now it is a blessing now, and it is a blessing eternally. How many pastors can say that? For me to live is Christ. Look at me. Follow me. Imitate me. Walk on my steps as I walk behind Christ. How many? You know, the old Ndebele pastors would say, I'm going to put it in Ndebele. Thathani lokhu ngikushoyo, niyekele lokhu ngikwenzayo. Nawu ngumuntu. Take what I say, but not what I do. Because I'm also a human being. I'm inclined to fall. But that's not a biblical thing. The Bible says, you know, Paul, when he puts it, I'll come to that. Now, in these verses, you see these two things. It will save you, and it will save your hearers. Now, let's go back to the example that I gave you. What if all of us, we drank from that tank? The very same tank supplies almost 60 households. Now, 60 households with many children in there, we would have died, all of us, with one tank.
You get my point? How many people are drinking from us will die from our messages, or will live from our messages? For it will save you by living close to God, by being refreshed by Him, by enjoying Him as your Father. It is, has a benefit for you, and it has a benefit for those who listen from you, because they will be getting alive messages from you. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Can you say that? Can you openly say on the pulpit, follow me as I follow Christ? Now this I'm going to say to the pastors. Can you say that? Watch me. See how I grow. See how I love God. See how I walk. See how I dress. See how I speak. Follow me. Can you say that? Fellow Christians, godliness is of a great benefit for you and your hearers. Not fame, not great sermons, not special sermons, but godliness. And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Discipline yourself. Put yourself in a situation where you forget everything. And when you read the book of Timothy, you will see what Paul was advising him to run away from. The myth, the stories, which will distract you from preaching and growing in the Lord. Balega from wrong teaching. Focus on Christ. The second question. Now, are there examples that we can learn from in the Bible concerning growth, concerning relationship with God, concerning devotion to God? Is there something that we can see from the Bible? Yes. And the main person we can learn from how to live in closeness with God, how to live in connection with God, is Christ Himself. Many of us, we say we follow Christ, we preach Christ, but we don't walk on His steps. We walk on our steps, what we desire. Now we can learn from Christ, because Christ, I believe, I'm speaking to people who knows the Bible, I believe we know that Christ, He is God. But even though He was God, the book of Philippians says, He humbled Himself. He always had time to speak with God. He had time to devote time to God. The Bible says, Luke 5, but now even more the report about Him went abroad, and great crowd gathered to hear Him and to be healed of their infirmities. Then it says, verse 16, but He would withdraw to desolated places and pray. That was something He would do every time and again, every time and again, to speak with His Father, to be refreshed. How many pastors we spend time with God, crying to Him, seeking His face, asking Him to bless us, asking Him to strengthen us to face the community, asking Him to strengthen us to face the pandemic. How many pastors do that? You know, it's funny how we pray, even in front of the community, those small prayers for the food you are about to receive, we thank You, O Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. Even when there's death, that's the same prayer we pray. How many of us has time just to cry before the Lord, to seek His guidance? Now, Jesus, even though He was God, even though He is God, He had time with His Father. Father, bless me. Father, give me strength to face this thing before me. Moses.
Moses experienced a lot of things in life when he left Egypt with the people of Israel. Moses experienced things which are unexplainable. But there are two verses, when I read them, you know, they really made me realize the closeness Moses had with God. Exodus 33, verses 11, it says, "So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend." What does he tell you? This is a close relation. It says God spoke to him as though he spoke to a friend. It is a deep relation that shows there is really a father and a son. Deuteronomy 34 says, "But since then there has not arise in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knows face to face." Daniel, even though in the midst of the people whom he doesn't know, even though he was forced never to pray to the Lord, the Bible in chapter 6 verse 10, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had window in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed, gave thanks to his God as he had done previously." One great person is David. When I read Psalm 63, when he says, my soul desire you, Lord. My soul yearns for you, Lord. Like a deer as it yearns for the waters, my soul desire you. Fellow Christians, how many of us desire the Lord? How many of us spend time with God? Then Paul says to Timothy, "Have nothing to do with things which will never benefit you." Dear Christians, what are we preaching out there? What are we telling people out there? What are we promising people out there? Are people learning from us how to grow in the fear of the Lord? It will benefit you and your hearers. You know, Charles Spurgeon, I read something on his sermon on Mark 1. Then he mentioned something like this. "Certainly our Lord Jesus Christ rose up early and went alone in the dark to pray because he loved to put prayer first to all. He would go nowhere." This actually blessed me. He says he will go nowhere till he had prayed. He would attempt nothing till he had prayed. He would not cast out a devil. He would not preach a sermon. He would work no cure, however necessary, however profitable, until first of all, he had drawn near to God. Then it continues, "Take good heed unto yourself, my brother, that you follow the same rule. Look no man in the face till you have seen the face of God. Speak with no one till you have spoken with the highest God. Go to no labor without prayer." And you know, when I read this, then Hebrews chapter 12 came into my mind. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great clouds of witness, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Because we've got these clouds. We've got these people to look after. We've got Christ to look after. Then we can strive for godliness. Because they clap hands for us. Now quickly let me go through with you something like this. It will take me a few minutes. What will hinder me to be close to God? What will hinder me to grow? There are obstacles which will hinder me. Now, Timothy might have had one. Mocking, Some calling him, we are young, you cannot say anything to us.
Heresies.
But okay, in this instance, I want to put it right in our midst. What will hinder us to grow? Let me tell you something. There is something that will hinder you and me not to grow. Not to have the closeness with God. Not to have an ability or the strength to continue exercising ourselves. And these few things pained my heart when I read them. One, unconfessed sins. Sin becomes a burden in my life and in your life. You know what sin does? Sin, it's like a gang. I don't know if I produce it very well. But it grows, it grows, it grows. And in South Africa, they chop your hand or wherever that thing is, they chop it out. But don't think it's gone. It's growing. Sin or unconfessed one, it's a danger. Now, David had that experience in Psalm 33. He said, now I felt like I have no bones. I felt the hand of the Lord pressing me down until I confessed my sins. Sin will stop even you as a pastor, you as a Christian, never to have that closeness with God. It becomes a wall. But the Bible says, confess your sins, He's faithful to forgive. Pride. Pastors can be proud, I'm telling you. Some you cannot even greet them with their hands. Okay, COVID has helped us also. But pride kills a lot of pastors. But you are a time bomb ready to blast. Be careful. Pride is one horrible sin which makes many pastors think better of themselves than God. Many pastors are devoted, and this actually, many pastors are devoted to who they are and what they are capable of doing as men of God, but being far from the owner of the church. You know what Paul said to Timothy? Watch yourself. Meaning, watch everything in you. Your character. Everything, make sure you watch it. Then it says, even your teaching. If you watch yourself with the spectacles of God, pride won't be there. Pride won't be there. And as I mentioned, Philippians, it says, the mind which was in Christ must be the mind which is in us as Christians. Three, busyness of life in ministry. I am busy. Our diaries as ministers are full of activities, but no hour with the Lord. Full of activities, but none time with the Lord. You know what Jesus said? Many will come and say, we have been preaching your word, performing miracles, going around. Okay, this is my addition a little bit. Doing 10 ministries. And he will say, I don't know you. Okay, I'm putting it wrong. I have even never known you. I've never known you. Go away. God, I suffered in Gwandebele. God, I preached. I don't know you. Because I never had a relationship with him, but I had time for fame. That goes with ministry. Jesus was busy, but he had time with his Father. Now, who am I? Who am I? Wicked as I am, not to seek the face of the Lord each and every day. The last two, our evil desire. We all desire to have mega churches, good salaries, good life and fame as we see others growing in greatness. But unfortunately, when all these desired things does not happen as quick as we might have thought, then it becomes a stumbling block in my life. I lose heart. Don't come to ministry because you have seen Muruti Maleke progressing. It will kill you. Galatians 5 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the desire of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desire of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. The last one is unconverted life. I've seen pastors who stand on the pulpit, but they are not converted. And you can see how they walk. The question is, are you converted? Are you converted? Are you? Many pastors are in ministry, and I've seen many, and honestly, they are not converted. That is why they do not have time for God, for His blessings. Now listen to this. They do not have time for God, but they have time for His blessings. But one of the signs of being converted as a child of God is desiring Him and Him alone. It's to desire to be like Him each and every day of my life. It is this desire to be close to Him each and every day of my life. Paul says, I desire nothing but to know Christ and Him alone. Now, I come towards the end, my dear brothers and sisters. If you are not spending quality time with Jesus, but yet busy going about performing religious tasks, it should not surprise you or me when emptiness and discouragement are the natural results. We cannot be busy with the owner's work, but not growing in love for Him. How do you work in a man's field, but you don't love him? How do you promote a man whom you don't even love yourself? But this is something I want to close up with. We all need to develop a disciplined life of devotion to God. As we follow the example of Christ, who never disconnected himself from the Father, even though he was God. But here's the issue. None of us naturally are able to grow in godliness. Naturally, we can't. Or naturally, I cannot grow that relation with God. I need Christ. I need the help of the Holy Spirit. And that's something I need to cry to. God, help me. I surrender. Because I am nothing but just a sinner. Help me to see you more clearly. Help me to love you more dearly. Help me to develop a character of being close to you. Because the Bible says in John 15, abide in me and me in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in me. Without Christ in me, I cannot grow. I'm going to say this again. Without Christ in my life, I cannot grow. And the people who will be drinking from me, all of them slowly will die because I'm a dead fountain. Is that what you want? Is that what you think you're called for? My dear brothers and sisters, especially pastors, the desire or the thirst for God, it's something we need to cry for before the face of the Lord. For Him to generate it in our hearts, to give us a new heart, that we may love him more dearly and be able to follow him more closely each and every day as we preach his word. Amen. May we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Mudimarna wa khalalela. Mudimarna uyo mubutsi. Agona mudimu ya tswana le wena. There's none who is like you. And when we say we are to desire you, it is not a request but a command. It is not an option but it's a command. But please, God, we are weak. We are torn apart by the desires of the flesh, the difficulties of this life, the sorrow that we face each and every day. Help us to grow. Help us to see you clearly. Help us to love you dearly. For you have said it, apart from you, we can never bear fruit. And that's the reason, Lord, we need you more to change our lives, change our hearts, so we can be the living fountains of your word. In Christ we pray, and we thank you, Lord. Amen.